All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you here. Thank you so much for braving the rain to be here today. It's really great to be here. I'd like to extend my welcome. Thank you so much for joining us here at Honeywood. Well, today, as Bill mentioned, you know, I have the utmost pleasure of opening our new preaching series, A Generous Life, where we will be spending the next few weeks just considering the amazing generosity that has been bestowed upon us by our Father in heaven. And we will be looking at how these generous blessings are to then overflow from our lives out into the world around us. And today, as Bill mentioned, the theme that we will be exploring is balance. And our passage for today is that well-known and well-loved passage from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. And so if you have your Bibles or your devices, please turn with me to Psalm 23. And of course, the passage will be on the screen. Just going to have a drink of water. All right, so Psalm 23. Much beloved, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And so, church, I want to begin by telling you a quick story. And it was actually one of those rare moments where Monique and I had a bit of time to ourselves. So Elisha had just gone to bed, and so we decided that we were going to use the precious time that we had to watch a movie. And so we got the snacks ready, we got the popcorn and the ice cream ready. We got the blankets out, and we made ourselves comfortable in the lounge. And we were ready to watch an exciting movie. And so we turned on the TV, and then we proceeded to scroll through Netflix to choose a movie to watch. And so we're flicking through Netflix. We're sitting there. We're checking out trailers. We're searching for the perfect movie that would appeal to both of us. And whilst that might sound pretty straightforward, unfortunately, it was less than that. See, Monique would make a suggestion, and I, in protest, would say, absolutely not. And then I would make a suggestion, and Monique would say, no, I'm good. I'm all right. See, Monique wanted a rom-com, and I wanted a good old-fashioned thriller movie. And so, I kid you not, more than 1 hour later, we found ourselves still flicking through Netflix and every single streaming service under the sun to try and find the perfect movie. Until, surprise, surprise, Elisha wakes up. And the time that we had put aside to watch the movie had been eaten up by us disagreeing and trying to find a movie. I think a lot of the couples here know exactly what I'm talking about. And it was such a silly moment. But you know, church, the reason why I share this story with you today is because as I thought about this comical moment, it really dawned on me how much more abundant things in life have become. You know, see, I think back in the old days of the VHS or the DVD, I know there's some of you here who have no idea what I'm talking about. But for those that can remember, when you wanted to watch a movie, you actually needed to get into the car, drive down to the video store, Blockbuster or Video Easy, and then you'd spend 20 minutes, you know, sort of choosing what movie you wanted to watch that was in line with your budget. And then once you had chosen it, you'd rent it out, and then you only had it for 1 week. And guess what? If the movie was bad, well, too bad. You couldn't turn it off. That was it. That was the choice. Those were the days. But then we think about today, where we have been so spoiled. With the advancements in technology, we have this whole raft of movie streaming services available to us that has thousands of movies at the touch of a button. And so there's so much abundance. And see, as I pondered that, you know, I thought about how that is so reflective of the world that we are in today. You know, when we consider our quality of life here in Australia, the OECD Better Life Index tells us that actually the quality of life in Australia is improving. That means for the average Australian, our incomes, our education system, the health system, the environmental quality, the infrastructure and the level of technology, it's all improving, it's all getting better. And so as the quality of life improves, things become more readily accessible. Our basic needs and wants become more obtainable, and resources become more abundant, to the point that we have everything available at the touch of a button. And so we're living in an age of abundance, with what feels like unlimited resources available to us. And you know, whilst this is all well and good, there's definitely huge benefits to that. The truth is, there is a downside, where I would actually argue that this overabundance in society has spoilt us. And it's created within society this unhealthy desire to want more. You know, the French historian and politician, Alexis de Tocqueville, wrote an interesting statement in 1831 in his book, Democracy in America. And he makes this interesting observation as he traveled throughout the new worlds of America. He writes, "I have seen the freest and best educated of men in the happiest circumstances the world can afford. Yet it seemed that a cloud hung on their brow and they appeared serious and almost sad because they never stopped thinking of the good things they have not yet got." They never stopped thinking of the good things they have not yet got. It's quite a striking observation, isn't it? And whilst this was written in 1831, this is still so reflective of the times that we live in today. We're in an age of abundance, we still want more. Things are never enough. And we actually see this played out today where we look at something like social media. We've got influencers and celebrities flaunting their luxurious lifestyles. When we look at media, we've got media outlets focusing. They have this weird fixation on millionaires and billionaires, don't they? You've got magazines like Forbes or the Australian Financial Review posting information on people's net worth. You know, how much more somebody's worth this year? How much more were they worth last year? And unfortunately, we are seeing that age-old truth played out in society, where the more you have, the more you want. And unfortunately, it's never enough. And you see, you think about how this desire for more can filter into our everyday lives, into the lives of normal people like you and me. It can become unhealthy. And it can add greater weights and greater stress to the already significant amounts of responsibilities in life. And whilst I'm not saying that this is the primary cause, but there are many studies that suggest that the added stress, the added demands in life are a contributing factor to the increase in anxiety and worry in this world. And so we live in a world of abundance that is fixated on wanting more, but in the same token, creating a greater sense of anxiety in our lives. That's the world we live in. But then in comparison, we turn to Scripture. And in particular, our passage for today, where we actually see a rather different perspective. See, in Psalm 23, the author David opens this passage with a bold statement, where he says, "I lack nothing." In King David's life, he lacked nothing. And that's quite a stark contrast compared to what we see in the world today, where the world tells us it's never enough. We need more and more and more. But then we look at this passage and David is quite literally telling us that he has everything he needs. He is content. He is happy. He does not desire more. There's a sense of confidence and assurance in his words that he does not or will not ever lack anything he needs. And what is even more amazing here is that David doesn't attribute his sense of satisfaction and contentment to earthly possessions or any sort of wealth or fame or power or control. But you see, church, why he says this with such confidence and assurance is because he tells us that the Lord is his shepherd. Verse 1 of our passage, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." See what confidence and what assurance he has in the provision of God. And what a truth that is so desperately needed in today's world. The truth that I have all that I need and I have all that I will ever want because the Lord is my shepherd. And church, that is such good news for us today. Because in a world that encourages us to demand more, we can have peace and every confidence in knowing that if we follow our Lord, we will have enough. We will have all that we need. You see, this passage really highlights the generosity of our God. And it shows us all that is offered to us when we follow Him, when He is our shepherd. And so today, I want to explore that in a little bit more detail. You know, why was David so confident in the Lord's provision? And what does this passage say about how the Lord provides? And how can we be good stewards of the Lord's blessing today? And so there's four things that I want to touch on in regards to this. Firstly, what is the significance of the shepherd? Secondly, the shepherd's provision is seen when he leads us. Thirdly, the shepherd's provision is seen when he restores us. And finally, the shepherd's provision shows his provision in the darkest valleys. And so let's look at that first point. What is the significance of the shepherd? In verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it's interesting why David would use this analogy. Because, of course, David himself was a shepherd. He was a shepherd before he became king. But if we look throughout Scripture, and in particular the Old Testament, there are many examples of this imagery used of a shepherd and their sheep. And what is really important to note about this analogy can be seen when we read Ezekiel 34. And I want to read verses 22 to 24 for you today because it adds such a layer of depth to our passage. So Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 22 to 24, it says, "I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." And see, why this is so significant is because Ezekiel 34 is prophesying about one who is to come. And the one that is promised in this passage, it tells us, will be the chief shepherd. And this chief shepherd will be the one who will tend to his flock, who will come to protect the flock and will ultimately come to save his sheep, that is you and I. And amazingly, we are told that this chief shepherd will come from the lineage of David. So you put all of those pieces together, what does that all mean, church? And why, see, this is why this is such an amazing analogy, is because the analogy of a shepherd points us to Jesus. And we can see this further confirmed when we look at the New Testament. We turn to the book of John. In one of Jesus Christ's famous I am sayings, he says, speaking of himself in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." See, the significance of this analogy of a shepherd is that it points to Jesus. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, the shepherd that provides all that we need in Psalm 23. And so instantly we realize that it begins to paint this amazing picture that not only speaks of Jesus Christ's deity, but it signals to us that all that we have and all that we need
is because of who Jesus is, and ultimately because of what Jesus did at the cross. Amen. See, this analogy of a shepherd points us to the gospel, that amazing truth that because of what Jesus did at the cross, we have been saved, we have been redeemed, we have been given life and not death. He has swapped our dirty rags for his cloak of righteousness, and we have been counted as holy because of him. That is such a marvelous truth. And see, what is the greatest expression of the generosity of God? What is truly the greatest blessing that we will ever receive is not how we have been blessed with material wealth or jobs or our relationships or our marriages or our families or even our children. And don't get me wrong, these are all great and precious things. But actually, the greatest blessing and the greatest act of provision from our God is seen in what Jesus did on the cross. And that is so humbling, church. Because we didn't do anything to deserve that. I lack nothing, not because of what I have done or what I have achieved. I lack nothing because of what he has done, because of his finished work on the cross. And church, I don't know about you, but that reality and that truth is more than enough for you and for me. More than enough for you and for me. And so we see straight off the bat, in verse 1, the analogy of the shepherd introduces us to the generosity of God. It points us towards Jesus. It points us towards the gospel. And that is what underpins the generous nature of God, that he sacrificed his own beloved son so that we would be saved. And church, that truth is what is to be the very foundation of what it means for us to live a generous life. Out of the blessing from our God should overflow from us a well of gratitude and thankfulness to our Lord. It should motivate us to live in obedience and in sheer admiration and reverence for our God. And that should then spill over into the world around us. When we are transformed by the gospel, we will reflect his light and his love and his generosity into the dark world around us. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the very expression of God's love and generosity. That's pretty significant. And that's the significance of the shepherd. And so with this in mind, we ask ourselves, you know, in light of what Jesus did at the cross, how else does Jesus show his provision for us? And so the next point that I want to touch on is that the shepherd's provision is seen when he leads us. And you might hear that and you might think, well, why do I need to be led? Well, we are told time and time again that we are his sheep. We are part of his flock. And if we look at the characteristics of sheep, we learn that sheep can be prone to wandering. We learn that sheep can be rather dull creatures. And many times they can get distracted. You know, there's many examples in modern times of sheep just literally walking off the edge of a cliff to their own death because they were so distracted. And so truth is, if we are like sheep, then it must mean that we too are a people that are prone to wandering and distractions and going astray. You know, the poet and the Christian writer, Jackie Hill Perry, tells us in one of her books that humans are passionate creatures. We are filled with passions and desires and emotions. And because of that, we can be swayed so greatly by our passions. We can be pulled left, right, and center. We can be distracted, not just by the demands of this world, but by the demands of our hearts. And what does it say in Jeremiah 17, verse 9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And even further to this, we are told in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And so we are prone to wandering. We are prone to getting distracted. We are prone to veering away from the right paths as we chase our dreams and our passions and our desires. And I wonder if there are some here today that have wandered so far from the flock that maybe you have become lost. See, the fact of the matter is that as sheep, we need to be led. We need to be guided in this life. We need a shepherd. Otherwise, without one, if we follow our own ways and we are left to our own devices, well, it can lead us to go down the wrong paths, the paths of destruction over the cliff's edge. That's why we need a shepherd. And thankfully, David encourages us in this passage to let the Lord lead. And when we read Psalm 23, verse 2, we are told of how the shepherd leads. It says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." What a beautiful picture. And that actually shows us, as we allow the shepherd to lead, as we allow Jesus to lead, he doesn't rule over us with his iron fist, but actually he will lead us into green pastures and beside quiet waters. And that evokes this beautiful image here of a lush green field, of a beautiful stream of fresh water. It is a picture of peace and of provision and of his abundance. And it tells us that as he leads and as we follow, he will ensure that we are fed, that we are fed both physically and spiritually. He will ensure that we are nourished, that the shepherd will nourish our very souls. And further to this, be encouraged to know that our shepherd knows us like the back of his hand. In John chapter 10, we are told that the shepherd know his sheep, meaning in every moment in life, he will know exactly what we need. He will know the direction we need to go. He will know that what we are lacking in our lives. He will know what troubles our hearts. He will know our hurts and our pains. And that is so encouraging because it means that he will provide exactly what we need in every moment in life, in both good moments and bad moments. And that is such an encouragement that we don't need to push or try anything. We don't need to pursue the things of this world. We don't need to selfishly seek things out. We don't even have to try to find the answers. All we need to do is to follow him, and he will do the rest. And he will provide everything we need in such a deep and intimate and personal way. The shepherd shows his provision when he leads us. Secondly, though, the shepherd shows his provision when he restores us. And so why do we need restoring? Well, again, if we consider the characteristics of sheep, we can see that they can at times find it difficult to tend and to care for themselves. And actually, there are many stories from sheep farmers that tell of times where one of their sheep had fallen over and they couldn't actually get back up. We also hear of stories of where sheep's fleece, you know, their wool becomes so long and so heavy that it can actually impede on their ability to walk. And that can be life-threatening for them. And so in times like this, the shepherd needs to be there to tend to his sheep, to care for his sheep, to trim back any excess wool, to help his sheep when they have fallen over, and to ultimately be there to restore the sheep back to normal health. And guess what, church? If we are sheep, then it must be said that at times we also find it difficult to tend to ourselves. See, in this life, as we go through ups and downs, we take on the burdens and on the weight of the world around us, don't we? And much like the sheep's fleece, these burdens become heavy. They become tiresome. It can feel like the weight of the world is on our shoulders. And as we walk around life carrying these burdens, we can begin to get tired and weary. We start to question things. We can begin to doubt and even falter in our faith. But then we read again in Psalm 23, verse 2, that beautiful verse, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And this verse actually signals to us that in a world full of chaos and full of demands, when our burdens become too heavy, the Lord restores us by leading us to rest. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. It's this imagery here of rest and restoration. And church, we need rest. And the promise and the provision from our shepherd is that as he tends us and as he cares for us, as he feeds us and nourishes us, he will lighten the burden. He will restore our strength and put us back on our feet and give us rest for our souls. And you know, as we hear that, I'm reminded of that beautiful verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Is there anyone here today that is tired, worn out, burdened? Can I encourage you today to come to the shepherd? For he will restore you and give you rest for your souls. And then finally, church, the shepherd shows his provision in the darkest valleys. And again, church, if we look at the characteristics of a sheep, we can see that they are rather defenseless animals. And actually, their only real defense is to run away. And so, again, if that's the case and we are sheep, then that must also be reflective of us. But see, the issue we have with having no real defense is what happens when difficult situations come. What happens? Because the truth is, there will be times where we will come across difficulty. There will be times where we will experience suffering and hardship, which is why in Psalm 23, verse 4, it talks about the darkest valley. In some translations, it says the valley of the shadow of death. And unfortunately, when these things happen, we can't just run away from them like sheep would do. Because sometimes the difficult moment that we are enduring could be an unwanted medical diagnosis. Maybe it's the breakdown of a marriage or the breakdown of a relationship. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's financial stresses. Maybe it's problems at work. Maybe it's problems in your business. It could be a whole raft of things which we cannot run from. Church, this life isn't always going to be easy. And sometimes there's this misconception in our faith that if we are believers, then life will always be good. But that's not what Scripture tells us. Hardship and suffering is part of the Christian experience. But see, thankfully for you and for me as believers in Christ, in these moments of trouble, in the midst of darkness, we are not alone. Our shepherd is still with us. He is still leading us. He is going before us. And actually, we are told in Psalm 23, verse 4, that he is also protecting and upholding us as well. And so if you're experiencing a difficult season today, be encouraged by what David says in this passage in verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is still with us and leading us and comforting us and protecting us through the difficult moments in life. And even if sometimes you may feel like you are suffering alone, or it might be difficult to hear his still small voice, take joy in knowing what it says in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Praise God. See, in every moment, if we are followers of Christ, then the promise in this passage in Psalm 137 and in Psalm 23 is that the Lord will never leave our side. There is never a time where we will be without Him. He is there through the good and the bad, the dark times and the light. And that is such an encouragement because it means that we are never alone. We have an unlimited source of strength and comfort and encouragement throughout these times. But you know, there's something else I want to add about this. If you can think back to Exodus 14, when the Israelites are finally fleeing Egypt, being led by Moses. And in this chapter, they see freedoms within their grasp. They can almost taste it. But then as they are fleeing for their lives, they come up against a seemingly unsurmountable obstacle. They come to the Red Sea and there is no way to cross. And then behind them, what's happening? The Egyptian army is bearing down on them with murderous intent. It is a hopeless situation. And we see that even the Israelites, they lose hope. They begin to doubt Moses. But see, what we see in this account is that despite this unsurmountable obstacle, God is still there. God is still with them. And guess what? God is bigger than any obstacle in our lives. But interestingly, although He is with them, He doesn't remove the obstacle, does He? He doesn't remove the sea. But what does He do? Is He makes a way through the sea. And that's a powerful learning, because it means that in the difficult moments of life, the Good Shepherd provides by making a way, by leading us through the darkness. He doesn't take away the storm, even though He could, but instead He is leading us through the storm. And He does this with a promise in verse 3, that He is leading us in paths of righteousness, the right paths. Meaning that if we are following the Lord and we are enduring a difficult season, then He is leading us through for a reason. There is an eternal purpose for what we are enduring. And so if that's you today, take heart in knowing that He is with you. He is going before you. He is upholding you and He is making a way. Trust in our Shepherd Church. Trust that there is an eternal purpose in our suffering when we are led by our Shepherd. For the Shepherd shows His provision and His power and His comfort and His strength and His control in the darkest valleys. And so in closing, church, I want us to consider these significant blessings that have been bestowed upon us by our Shepherd. The generous gift of salvation shown at the cross. The provision He shows as He leads. The care and the rest that He promises from the burdens of life. The restoration and nourishment for our souls. The strength and the endurance He gives us in those difficult moments. The reality that He provides all that we need as we are led by Him. So in light of this generosity, how then can we be good stewards of what He has given us? Because in Psalm 23 verse 5, we are told, "My cup overflows." And what this signifies is that not only have we been blessed, but actually we have been blessed with His abundance. That in fact our cups are filled to overflowing because of His goodness, because of His mercy. And so in response to His blessings, He calls us to be a blessing to those around us, to reflect His generous nature and His shepherd-like character in our lives and into the world around us. He calls us to share the blessing of the gospel. Let us point people to Jesus. Let us share the hope that is within us. Let us be His hands and His feet in this world. Let us forever proclaim that the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Not because of what I have done, but because of who He is and what He has done. And in doing this, we are told that His goodness and His love and His mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your shepherd. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent the good shepherd to save us. We thank you for the work that was done on the cross and for that gift of salvation that was bestowed upon all that believe. We want to thank you, Lord, for the significant blessing that you show when you lead us, when you restore us, and when you make yourself known in the darkest valleys. We thank you that we are not alone through any of it. And we pray, Lord God, for those today that have heard your still small voice. We pray, Lord God, that today you would meet them. That Heavenly Father, you would reveal your generous and loving and good nature to them this day. We pray, Lord God, that there would be a response from the heart from all of us. That we would be so forever changed by the reality of your gospel, that that would be reflected, not privately, not a secret faith, but Lord, that would be reflected into this world around us. Lord, we pray that we would reflect your light in the dark places of this world. And we pray, Lord God, that as we live in light of the cross and in view of your significant blessings, we wouldn't just be partakers of these blessings, but Lord, we would share these blessings to those around us. So Heavenly Father, use us for your will, for your kingdom. May you be glorified in our lives. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.